Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper here, your host of the We Are Women podcast. Welcome. And with me today, I have Natasha Denman. Now, Natasha is the ultimate 48-hour author. And I know from personal things, Natasha is highly sought after as a professional speaker. And she is CSP accredited. She is a coach and a mentor. Natasha is seven-time published author and a creator of the game-changing business model called the Ultimate 48-Hour Author. Now, when Natasha wrote this, she said that she'd helped over 130 solopreneurs. But when we start chatting, I'm sure that number's gone up significantly, Natasha.
Yes.
And she's helped them become first-time published authors in just 2.5 years. So been in business for 6 short years, Natasha has been nominated for the Telstra Businesswoman of the Year twice, and she was finalist of the Oz Mumpreneur of the Year in Product and Innovation. Now, Natasha has appeared on all the major outlets, media outlets across Australia, including the Sydney Morning Herald, the Financial Review, and the Age. And Natasha is changing the way people do business in Australia and now runs her seven-figure business with her husband and her 3 children traveling the country, spreading a message and helping small business thrive. And for the last few months, particularly, been watching Natasha, certainly traveling not just this country, but traveling the world with her children and helping other businesses. So welcome, Natasha. It's lovely to have you on here.
Thank you, Janine. It's really exciting. And yes, look, a lot more things have upgraded since we last spoke to each other. Over 200 people have gone through our program and done their books. And we actually released a book with my husband a couple of months ago. So, that was the 8th book. So it's been an amazing year.
Fantastic. So the 8th book, what was the title and topic on that one, Natasha?
Guilt-free parents, selfishness recommended, love your children, build your empire, satisfy your desires. So all about being a entrepreneur or a solopreneur of tiny little children, how you juggle all of that and still have, I guess, everything that you want in your life.
And with the both of you working in the business now, has that made juggling either harder or easier?
Easier, definitely easier. And even another big change is coming as of last week. It was made official. We've decided to offer my mum in a way, a position into our company so she can quit her day job. And basically we will support her with the same wage, but she'll help us out so we can get on the road with Stuart together. So basically she'll just be in charge of the kids and some admin work around the business, but definitely working probably a quarter of what she does right now. So that's the latest update in terms of how our little family business is growing and expanding and being able to reach out to more people worldwide now.
Yeah, that look, not only is that just, you know, wonderful that you can be working, you know, that you can offer your mum employment and that your business is growing to do so, but it's wonderful that you, for a daughter to be in a situation where you can help your mother, you know, move out of something into something that she's going to enjoy and be part of as well. That's really cool.
Yeah, she's always looked after our kids when we go to the retreats, and she's always said, I'm part of the Ultimate 48-Hour Author, you know, family and team. But now she's truly going to be part of along the whole journey and even doing some bits and pieces that are not too hard on her, but to start enjoying a lifestyle after 20 years of cleaning and getting up at 5 a.m. in the morning, Monday to Friday, no matter whether it's a public holiday or not, she'd have to go. That's something that I just want her to stop doing so I can see her not be tired and you know, just choose, have choice. And as you said, yeah, not many kids can do this for their parents, and I'm blessed to be able to, and I'm so, so happy. I can't wait to see how it all goes.
Oh, that's cool. And that's a great role model than you've had as well, because I know how hard you work. So having somebody that is such a great role model in your life has obviously made a difference to you too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, she was very entrepreneurial to pick up her life and come here at the age of 31 in Australia, not speaking any English, and to set up a life and you know, look for those better opportunities, you know, to build what she's built for herself and me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's in itself, you know, that mindset, you know, that anything's possible.
No, that's just wonderful. And I love the title, that book, to Guilt-Free yeah. Parents, and the little subtitles underneath that.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. It's a little bit disruptive, you know. We certainly are parents who do still suffer from guilt, but there is ways to minimize it. And, of course, I say selfishness recommended, you know, because often so many of us can put just the children in front of everything else and get so drained and depleted in other areas where we should be also fulfilling our own desires in order to be the best parent we can possibly be. And so that's the little sort of spin. It's a little bit disruptive, so it catches people's attention. But, you know, we talk about the similar challenges that everyone has on this journey.
No, and look, it doesn't matter. My children are in their 30s and you're still guilty about something. You know, there's, I think it's a role then for the rest of your life. It's just, you wear it somehow. But, and I've always been the type of parent too, that I believed if I was the strongest, the best I could be, the financially sound, all of the things fit, healthy, well, then I'd be able to support my children
totally
all the way through. So I was one of those parents that put myself first, so that I could be the best for others and not be making decisions based on lack. So that but you still carry the guilt. It's part of the job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's part of it.
Yeah, and now what's your biggest belief about writing books? Tell me what your passion is about.
My biggest belief, well, I think it's super easy. I think what's not easy is people's mindset around what they make it out to be. So really mindset is the number one block that's going to keep anyone from progressing to write their first book. Once they've done their first, certainly, then there's no issues in writing second, third, fourth, whatever. But it's that, you know, am I good enough? You know, will anyone read it? You know, what will people think? Will I get criticized? Fear of success? All of that sort of stuff comes up for people. But, you know, my belief after doing 8 and having over 200 people go through it, that it's just simple and easy. You know, you just got to know the steps, which is what people hire us to show them, so they don't have to try to work out everything and get too overwhelmed.
Yeah, I wrote a book and it was launched at the end of 2015, I think, 16. And it was that first sort of, you know, what are you going to do and how, but when you get good guidance and you know the steps, as you said, it does make a lot of difference, because it takes away a lot of that fear, because you just keep following the process.
Yeah, you put one foot in front of the other, and you know, I wish someone like me, that I actually had awareness that someone like me existed out there when I did my first book, because I did it completely solo. I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have a book coach. I didn't know who to go to. But I guess that was all of the information or the mistakes that I made on that journey that are now serving me to tell the do's and don'ts to my clients of what's out there. So it was probably happened for a reason. But now I say to everyone, if I had known that people like me existed that do programs like this, I would have just gone and paid the package, whatever it was, and gone down that sort of an end-to-end kind of process so that I get guided every step of the way.
Yeah, and it's not just the guidance part of it, it's the system, the stepping it out, but it's that backup support and
accountability.
Yeah, and keeping you on track, because I know so many people that I speak to that have got half a book done and have taken that so long to get that next bit of process and to get it finished. When I wrote mine, the stuff flowed and I wrote it in 12 days. So I was very happy with being able to get the information out. So when I listen to them saying it's been 12 months, and I'm thinking, just finish it. What is holding them up? It's
fear. It's fear that's holding them up. Yeah. And I spoke to a lady just 2 hours ago who had done a different program related to writing a book. And because it wasn't a complete process start to finish, like we offer, it was pretty much just the mentoring side of it. You know, she has got 80% of her content, but it's been sitting there for a year. And she said, I want to come to your weekend and just get all of this finished and hand it across to the editors and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, that's a big point of difference that we believe why over 90% of our clients who attend our retreats complete the whole process is because everyone is lined up to get to that last point of printed books.
That's a really high result, 90% completing it.
Yeah. The 10% that don't, in case your listeners are curious, well, what happens to those 10%? Well, really, we attract a variety of authors, and some of our authors are really, really financially secure and independent. So some of those who are in that situation, they think that it was a good idea at the time. They come to the retreat, they love it, everything, but they don't have that push to finish it because they're already well set up and there's really their life doesn't depend on it. Whereas some other authors, this is the book that's going to launch them. This is the book that's going to, you know, provide that, you know, credibility and all that sort of stuff. So sometimes I say, you know, the most successful people will not necessarily finish because they don't have that sort of, their back's not up against the wall. Oh, it's a nice project at the time. And if life gets in the way, that's when it can just go, oh, well, you know, I'll just let go of that. But everyone else, like, is, you know, who's determined to make a success of this and leverage it, everyone finishes.
Yeah. And it's a different mindset, isn't it? And it's also, as you keep, you know, you said a couple of times about that fear. That would be that fear of judgment of that, that the result isn't as good as, you know, what other people will judge it then. And then that within that, they're judging you. And especially if you're trying to get your credibility and build your profile from the book, that's where you really need to have that sense of guidance and assistance.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I will have a word to the people I know who haven't completed it and ask them that question, what exactly is holding them back? Because they will say time 100% of the time, but they don't prioritize it for whatever.
Well, it's time is the cover-up excuse for self-doubt. And actually, if they've been sitting on it for a year or longer, the content's probably maybe a little bit outdated and they'll want to update it. So often when I meet people with manuscripts half started or, you know, even sometimes completely written, I have a look at them, you know, I go through it and then I rip it all apart and I go, you know what? I think it's going to be faster if you just start it again, you know, because the process, we teach them to speak out their content and they get it transcribed and all that, and then it's more updated. So I often say to people, the longer you leave it, you're moving around deck chairs and you've grown and you've evolved, and therefore your content will probably, you'll want to write something different because you've learned something more from 12 months ago. That's why I write a book every 12 months, because more new stuff, more new knowledge, experience, just stuff that I want to share with people has come to fruition. Therefore, everything else is kind of like, you know, the previous steps, if you like.
Yeah, okay. Now, that makes a lot of sense as well. Mm. Yeah, I know I've got plans over the Christmas break to write another book on the same topic but from a different angle as well. And I know exactly what you're saying, that there's more information that's certainly come in the last 2 years that I need to express and to share as well. So yeah, that's a good point. But a book every 12 months. So let me look at this. You'll be, when you turn 85, you know, how many books are you going to have then?
I don't know. About 60 or something. I don't know. Well, I just think when I decide, and I never plan when I'm going to do it. It's almost like as if I just naturally feel, oh, it's time to write another book. I want to write on this. Mm-hmm. And then I write it. And it's not like the last book was written while we were in the US. I was doing the tour. I unpacked it on the airplanes while I was flying. Then I would spend half an hour here and there speaking out the chapters. Then my transcriptionist would obviously get those transcribed. Then I'd clean it up and the manuscript was ready. So I just kind of just did it on the go. I didn't have a set time because I just use my system over and over and over again. And this is what I say to people. The system you're investing is not just for your first book. It is actually for every other book you're going to write and the intellectual property around it. And so so I just use my own system, and just when I think, oh, yeah, it's time and I feel like writing this, then I just start doing it. And to me, even nowadays, like I don't even care too much about how many will I sell and what's going to be the outcome of this, because it's actually more about the passion of delivering the topic. And the books just sell. Whenever I speak at events and I run my own workshops, people just go back to the back of the room. They'll choose whichever titles sing out to them. Mine are quite different. They're not kind of always about the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like you heard before, Guilt-Free Parents is about parenting kind of thing. Ultimate 40 Hours is about writing a book. Then I've done Ninja Couch Marketing, which is like about marketing that you can do to build your business running it from the couch. Then I've got a weight loss book. So my topics are quite varied. They're not like flowing from one to the other like some people do series of books.
Yeah, no. And that's just a different model, isn't it? Because, and I suppose being the book writing expert, by you having different topics too, apart from it just being, you know, part of your knowledge and your skill base, it demonstrates that you can pick a topic and write a book on it.
Yeah. Well, you can expand on it as long as obviously you've achieved results in that topic. I always have to say to people, you must be integral about what you're writing about. So if you have got shortcuts, tips and all that sort of stuff to share, a system with someone of how they can get to a result faster than if they were just doing it themselves, and make sure you have achieved that yourself. So none of my books that I've written are books where I'm telling people to do something that I haven't done myself and I have been successful at it. So that has to be the utmost first thing that you have to ensure. It's not, no point in, like, you know, sometimes people can read other people's stuff and they go, oh yeah, I'd like to help people in this way, but yet they haven't achieved the result in that way. So you have to be the number one example or success story, if you like, before anything else comes out. So integrity has to be first and foremost.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's really important. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the same when you're like me, when you're on the speaking circuit, you've got to be able to demonstrate that you've had that success in that particular field. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And so most of the books that you, the topics that people choose, are they the self-help type of book, you know, on a topic?
Not all the time. There is a greater percentage of those style books. I would perhaps cluster them under a how-to kind of umbrella. So it doesn't have to be like a next retreat, we've got like a financial advisor coming. So he's not going to write a self-help book. It'll be, well, in self-help in financial terms, I guess. We've had a lawyer write a book with us. We've had mortgage brokers. So we've had a lot of people from the financial industries, as well as obviously coaches, speakers, you know, and consultants that write books with us. Sometimes people come to us because it's a healing journey for them. So they really want to tell their life story and the lessons through that. So then we've noticed that actually there is, but I would probably even go 50-50. I mean, yes, those who write the healing book also end up building a business behind it because of, you know, the lessons and the system that they then develop to help others. But I would say 50% is just purely for business. And it's smart to do it that way, but other people will use it for both healing and then a business outcome from the book. So it's very therapeutic, I guess, going through the book writing process.
Yeah, writing a book like that is a very personal process as well. And what I found, and I imagine this is for all your authors as well, is that you start delving into the knowledge that you have and the experiences that you have. And I know I was sort of, you know, blown away at myself and going, oh, yeah, you do have all that experience. You do know that and you have done it. And it's a little opportunity to stand up and be recognized within. Yeah.
I sometimes read back. I've never read any of my books in their entirety, but I've read sections of them, and I sometimes read it like 3 or 4 years later and I go, oh, that's very smart. That's something. I learned something from myself. I remind myself about something I've written. It's really, really interesting. Like I just, I think, yeah, we can be insightful back to ourselves.
I on that subject, I was running a mastermind group recently and there was something that I just, it just slipped my mind. So I got my book out to refer to it. And all of the women in the group just laughed because they said, you're using your book as a reference material. And I'm going, yeah, I am too. That's really cool, actually.
Yeah, I was on a plane and I had my book. I don't know why it was in my hand luggage, but I started reading properly the first three chapters and I was like, oh, this is actually quite interesting. You know, like, you forget, you just do. And it's really cool. I mean, it's really cool to have your book because ultimately my children are only now 3, 6, and 9, and maybe the 9-year-old will start reading some of this. Well, actually, he's coming on the next USA tour with me and Stuart, which happens to be because we're going to take him to WrestleMania in the US, so we're going to execute a tour. And he will be on the road with us doing all these half-day workshops. And I reckon he's going to get so much information absorbed just from sitting in the back of the room, you know, and just playing. I think kids are amazing that way, and I can't wait to see, like, how my ours grow up.
That's really cool, actually, to So just the 9-year-old you're taking?
Yes, because my husband found out that WrestleMania tickets went online, and it was a 30-year-old dream for him to be at this massive once-a-year event over there. And he came up to me and said, I'd really like to take Juddy to WrestleMania. And we worked out the financials, and I go, oh, you know, $5,000 for a week-long just a week in the States to attend this one-day event. I said, how about we make this a business trip? And I said, why don't we do a tour for 2 weeks and we do WrestleMania in the middle of it, and then obviously we a lot of it will be tax deductible because we'll be there actually 95% for business. And he said, all right, let's look at it. So then we looked at it and we said, yeah, much better idea. So, yeah, we're going back. We weren't going to go next year, but now we are going to go back because we want to, yeah, and I'm going to WrestleMania too.
So, very good. So whereabouts is the WrestleMania?
And New Orleans, it will be, and it's like during the Easter school holidays as well. So it kind of everything's clicked together really nicely. And we looked at our calendar for next year and it's like, oh my goodness, we don't have any other events here scheduled and all that. We can go. So all of a sudden, this literally happened last week. It's like, yep, we're doing another tour over there and all of that. So it's exciting. It really is. It'll be a great family thing and a great time to be one-on-one with him, because it's having three kids and you don't get too much one-on-one time.
No.
Not
at all. And whereabouts else will you be touring with your half-day workshops?
Okay, so Australia has two national tours and we go through all the major cities twice, plus we're adding in like places like Toowoomba and Wollongong. You know, we're adding in the bigger cities nearby the, you know, major ones. And then, of course, Dubai is going to happen. Maybe we'll go two or three times there because we already have to execute a retreat there in January, and then USA. So there'll be quite a lot of motion. But the thing is, as I said before we started the call, the focus is solely, you know, running our half-day workshops, which obviously get people to find out about our retreats, which then obviously get them to finish the book. So there's really only three steps to this whole process, and we just do that over and over and over again. We dropped our mastermind program that we were running in our home for the last 2 years. We said, we're not going to do that anymore. Let's just, like, it's kind of like getting it so narrow, like to the one thing, that it enables us, I guess, letting go of the mastermind, I think, brought USA back into the picture, to tell you the truth. We made the room and all of a sudden something else, which was more obviously aligned, came in. So
that's, you know, it sounds good. And because you did the trip there as well, that was quite a long trip this year as well in the States, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, we did the half-day workshops and then we had a month family holiday and then we did the retreat at the end of it. But we actually realized we need to give people a little bit of a greater gap between the half days to the retreat. So this time it'll be April half days, October retreat. Because then they'll can prepare properly, and financially also for cash flow, it's better for them when they get on the repayments to catch up rather than having a huge sum that they have to come up with immediately. Mm-hmm. So we thought this it's a better way, and it's more doable, and we can also further do follow-ups and touch base with people as we lead into that retreat. So, like, just we learnt the lessons from this year's tour. which, you know, some were good lessons and some were like hard lessons to learn, but obviously it's changed a lot of how we are going to do business, you know, moving forward, and just being a little bit more intelligent rather than emotional decisions, which can sometimes get you into trouble. But I love it. Everything happens for a reason. And I've just loved when I learn something, and then when I get better at it, I just feel so much more wiser.
And that's what it is. Rather than calling it a mistake, it's an opportunity, Natasha.
It is.
And look, I mean, we can joke about that, but that's actually a really powerful way to see things, is to see them as opportunities to learn. And then look at how you can learn from that and then apply that to future decisions. It's really smart.
Oh, it's changed just everything. Like, it shifted everything that when we came home after that tour, how we tweak things up. And as a result, we had the biggest month in business in September, like the biggest ever. And it was just like amazing. Like, I was the whole year, I think, it was building up to September, because it was a hard slog. We had lost our Facebook, regular Facebook ads guy at Christmas last year of all times. And then for 6 months, we went through two or three people, and a lot of things like slowed down because of the lack of results in the Facebook ads. And then that got fixed up. And then as a result, we caught up and all surpassed last year just with that 1 month.
Wow.
So sometimes you got to really have faith, and you got to keep putting one foot in front of the other, and you know, just do all the basics, foundational things. When ads are not working, what else can you do that you did in the early days when you couldn't afford ads, right? And we just went back and did things like that, just hustling, you know, on the ground, going more networking, doing more speaking gigs, doing all of this sort of stuff that doesn't, is not involved through, you know, obviously paid advertising. And we still kept on track. Like, we were able to maintain the same level, but it was, I have to tell you, the first 6 months were really like, you know, sort of, oh my God, what's happening? Everything was so nice and easy and smooth.
And look, there's a good lesson in there for everybody, isn't it? I mean, you've been doing this for a while and you've become incredibly successful at what you're doing, but the lesson in there is that sometimes you've just got to go back to basics. Sometimes you've got to recognize that you can't just keep riding on a wave, and there's troughs and peaks, and you just have to apply yourself in a different way, don't you?
Yeah, it doesn't matter how successful you get or how much money you have. You know, your goals are your goals, and you want to achieve them and hit them. And as you get more successful, just because this is a seven-figure business, I have to, you know, we have to take into consideration that I'm now in charge of the livelihood of probably around 10 people. And that sheer responsibility of managing that, and managing massive tax bills, and managing bills that no longer arrived at $100. Most of my bills are five figures. Every bill I get, it's $10,000-$15,000, and I'm like, okay, you know, it's just all relative. But as you evolve and you grow through the journey, you're able to handle more and more. And if you like, they say the more successful you get, the higher quality problems you have, and all this sort of stuff that changes. But again, you know, there's always going to be ups and downs and moments where you don't feel like, oh my God, I'm not growing. Oh my God, I'm going to lose everything. It's imploding. and then there's other times when you feel like you're, you know, on cloud nine, like after our September, you know, month, I was like, oh my God, I can just go for a holiday for a year now.
And I go through some moments like that as well. I'm just going, I just want to take some, okay, I'm doing enough. I'm working hard enough. And I do take holidays. They're the first things I put in my calendar every year. But you know, you just want to not be on point. I suppose that's a description, isn't it? You just got to be on point all the time when you're doing this type of thing. And sometimes you just go, okay. And when you're doing really well, that's when you go, okay, well, maybe I can back off a bit. But it's not the time to do it, because it's a time when you've got a bit of momentum going as well.
Exactly, exactly. But yeah, now we've literally Tuesday, just a couple of days ago, we ran our last online event and sort of event that funnels into our retreats. We've got one more mastermind meeting with our guys here at our home, but for the finish of the year. But now we're in a 2-month period where I've learned to give myself permission. It's okay not to make any sales. If I don't need to go and hustle as hard as I used to. You know, that's what I want, I guess, the listeners to understand. You might be in your first 1 to 3 years of business and might be just super crazy, but it's not always going to be like that. Once you set up your systems, once you build your infrastructure and your business, once you've got your core, like your thing, what's your one thing that you're going to be known for? And then you refine things around that. It becomes so much more like there's a routine around it, and you will have your life back and you will be able to have time with your children. It's just that initial startup period where the rocket takes off the ground and it needs so much energy and time and effort. But once it's like, you know, up there and you're getting exponential growth and you're connected, you're getting to be connected with even higher quality individuals and joint venture partners and all that sort of stuff, then it really becomes super enjoyable. Yes, there's moments that's going to be hard. We're emotional beings, but it's not going to be as overwhelming as what perhaps sometimes it can feel. That's how I felt anyway.
And I know you said you're relying on assistants as well now, and you talked about transcribers and your people that do marketing. So having that part of it is initially is giving away that control, but then once you're comfortable with it, that meaning that you can then apply yourself to other facets of your business that don't need you doing.
Yeah, totally. So I no longer, the only thing that I'm in charge of is obviously being the speaker and the person who's the face of the business. Realistically, all my event logistics get taken care of by my virtual assistant. My husband's more in a customer service general manager type of role. Obviously, my mum's just going to start doing some more admin. So I used to do all my bookkeeping and I love it, but then I'm going to train her up and I'm sure she'll take it off and there's another 5-ish hours back in my month to do, you know, things I'm great at. And then we've got, the publishers, the editors, the transcriptionists, the graphic design people. And one thing gets passed on between the beauty in our business is that we have not changed our suppliers since the day we started doing this program, which is really rare that to be with a supplier for a long time, because sometimes people, you know, values clash and goals and all of that sort of stuff. So to tell you the truth, the only thing that changed was that Facebook guy who left us at Christmas last year, which was like a big shock because I've had such a consistent, team, if you like. And that's really also what makes you feel at ease and that your people are going to get looked after the way you look after them.
And that's a really big point too, because I know when a lot of people start looking for assistance, the first thing is because they're looking for them at the most economical as they go offshore. But there's, I know, just even having some graphic work done and things like that, I've gone, okay, that's not quite, I don't quite get it. It's, having, so getting that balance, isn't it? And then having that you rely on.
We've got a mix of people who are offshore and then obviously local. And of course, we have to have been happy. 1,000,000% with the offshore people. We don't want to pay just cheaper because it's cheaper. We want to, if it's cheaper and it's still got great quality, then awesome. And one of the people that we have is our person in Macedonia, which actually where I come from, I've caught up with him 3 or 4 times face to face because I do go back there regularly. So we've built this relationship and he does all our mock-up covers and he designed the planner that I bring out every year. Like he just does amazing work, but the standard of living over there is a lot lower than here. So thus we pay a lot less. However, he's like my in-house designer and I love the work that he does. So that doesn't always mean, yes, you get what you pay for. Like, for example, in the publishing side of things, we've got local people, like local editors, local layout people. Like, you know, we want a high quality product that, you know, that's printed. And for that, we do pay more than, I know I can get publishing packages off other companies cheaper, but I want the local people who actually come away at the retreat on the Sunday and meet the authors and there's that whole other more hands-on
approach.
And
that for the authors, that would be really comforting too, because they're handing their baby off to somebody that they've met and they know will do a good job with it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, well, my first book, everything was done through an email and it was really like never even a phone call. And I just had to manage the communication via email, which was, you know, sometimes, you know, things get miscommunicated and all that sort of stuff. Not everyone is as great at communication as the other person. So, yeah, having local people for that side of things, I've just been really blessed, you know, and they've always met all their deadlines. They've always followed through on what they've promised with every single book. And, we can't wait to see how much longer and what's going to happen as we move through. But I'm very confident no matter what happens, Stuart and I, you know, say we can solve any problem. You know, you have problems that come up, but the mindset has to be, okay, how do we solve this? Who do we need to call? Who do we need to ask questions? Who do we need to speak to? And we're very solution focused.
And that makes a lot of sense to work that way rather than dwelling on the problem as well.
Yeah.
One of the things that I love that you said, you know, you clean the space of, you know, getting rid of the mastermind group and just focusing on that really narrow focus of the business. Now, a lot of people when they're first starting out too will have multifaceted businesses which cover a whole lot of different, one of the things, because, you know, I coach in sales as well, is that when you ask people, who do you sell to? And they go, everybody, you know, it's one of the things you'd like to pull people back on and go, no, everybody might buy your product, but that's not who you're going to market to. And it's that, but you know, you're really nutting it right down, but that's taken a process to get there. That's something I want to make people aware of as well, that, but when you do clear space, as you said, doors open.
Yeah, totally. Well, I completely believe that getting rid of this mastermind brought in the USA tour. It's literally like 10 days of my year I got rid of. And it was a highly profitable program because we literally only had to buy food for the participants and everything else was consulting, right, and training. And so it was a great little program that ultimately paid for our Facebook advertising for the year. And that's how I looked at it till now. But then, you know, we thought about, you know, to generate what we generate from that, you know, we really need only 4 or 5 author clients, you know, to get to that revenue that was bringing in. And we said, let's just get really focused. So every year, so Janine, like you said, when they start out, business owners can have multiple offerings because they're testing and measuring. Are people wanting to buy this more or is it this? Or what is it that they see in me that they really go, I want that because she knows she's worked it out. Like I had the lady I was speaking to this morning, she basically said to me, I want your life. She said to me. And to me, when someone says that, it's not so much, oh, you know, that's flattering and all that. Basically, she's saying, I want to model everything you've done to this point to set up your life the way it is set up because I've been working the last 6 years. She reckons 18 hours a day. She's been sleeping 4 hours a night and she's got a 3- and a 6-year-old. And she goes, I want to build the book and the online stuff. And she had done another program a year ago that got her content, but she's not finished yet. And she's got a big law firm and all this sort of stuff. So she's a successful woman. But that's what she said. And I said, and that's the point in life. It's not about us working and taking on more. There's plenty to take on if you wanted. But I think it's the biggest lack to success is lack of focus. And once you kind of just keep clearing out what's not working, where are 80% of your results coming? You know, the principle of the 80-20 rule. And just keep just focusing down on that. Sometimes I go, am I doing enough? Like, you know, am I being a little bit lazy right now because I'm not actually feel like I'm as highly wired as I was in year 1, 2, 3. And I go, well, I am. I just worked out how to do this smarter and I shouldn't feel like I have to always be wired and on.
Yeah, and that must be a very nice place to get to as well.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. Because then I kind of go, I know, if I want to get momentum up, I know exactly what I need to do to get momentum up. I'll just get out there, be with people all the time, network, set up, look for speaking gigs, post on social media more, you know, connect with people on LinkedIn. I'll just tap into all of these strategies that I did at the beginning. And whenever I'm open to opportunities, like right now, I'm like, almost like, I don't want to talk on the phone. I don't want to do this. So I'm kind of closed off to opportunities right now. I'm like, I want to rest, you know, because I know the minute that we go to Dubai for mid-January to host our retreat, all of these opportunities and things will, and as you say, our energy as well, if we kind of close ourselves off, energetically go, okay, nothing coming to my life right now. I need a rest. And then the year starts and you're ready to take it on. You go, okay. Communication, all open, everything like that, and then they flow back.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Now, just going back to the people that you're working with when they're writing the books, what would be some main points that you would encourage people to think about when they're writing books?
Yep. So the key one is to ensure, and this is where a lot of people get stuck and do it wrong, is they end up selling the needs, not the wants, to their target market. The easiest way to explain is, like, let's say with the weight loss example, like people need to eat less, exercise more, get organized, set goals, all that kind of stuff. But they actually want to lose weight in 3 minutes while eating chocolate, right? So you want to, the book needs to sell the magic bullet of what your client's deep desire of how do they want to solve their problem the quickest way possible. So, for example, with the book Guilt-Free Parents, that's the want. We want to be guilt-free, right? But the need is everything that's in my content in the book, right? So there's stuff around time management. There's stuff around how to manage and connect and travel with you, all of that kind of stuff. But breastfeeding, boobs, babies and business is one of the chapters, like doing the breastfeeding and all that kind of stuff. So the want is guilt-free parents, but the need is all the things you need to put into place to get to, you know, to that, you know, place of where you can feel a lot more, you know, less guilty, if you like. And so that's the number one thing that I want people to really think about. You sell the want, you give the need. You sell to the ego, you sell the magic bullet, and then I say you give to the soul, or you give the too hard basket kind of stuff inside the content. Because we know that there's no magic bullets, but really us human beings, including me, we buy the magic bullet. Like when my son wasn't sleeping, I went to a bookstore, I looked at the whole shelf of sleeping books for babies, and I chose the one that had a stamp on it that says the results in less than 5 days, you know? And so I read it cover to cover in one day. I extracted the system, I typed it up, and I taught it to my mum and my husband, and literally we had the baby sleeping through the night in 48 hours, and 5 days he had the day sleep sorted. And we used that system for all three babies so we wouldn't suffer, you know, and be like zombies. But the human psyche is that we are going to go for the magic bullet, even though we know things too good to be true and da-da-da-da-da. But in order to get our foot in the door and to get the sale, we have to sell the magic bullet. So ultimate 48 hours. Yes, we get the content executed in 48 hours. Yes, it happens. It's only actually 5 hours of speaking to execute 40,000 words. But is there a little bit more? So the book project is not time consuming, but is there a little bit more to do to leverage this book? Yes, absolutely. There's a whole lot of other activities once your book comes out, which is actually what the authors kind of go, oh, my book will be the solution. But actually, hey, hang on, you need to learn all of these other aspects of where you can get the opportunities that you've now written this book for. So I didn't break this down into 3 points, but I think there was at least 3 points
and
in that summary.
Very valuable points as well. And that is a really – so that's obviously something that's very powerful with the people that you're working with, is the authors that you're working with, is how to then get that book title so it becomes that magic bullet. So it does stand out from on the shelf. Mm. As you said, you went to the shop and chose the one that gave you the results that you wanted. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's not like it was easy. I had to learn about all of these things about babies and their sleeping cycles. And I had to learn about, you know, food and play sessions and when, what order things should happen. When should I start training my baby? When is it too early? When is it, it's never too late, but when is it too early that you couldn't use the system if the baby was any younger than 4.5 months? And like they give you so much, 160 pages worth of information for you to digest it and kind of go, ah, okay, now I know, and it's not going to be easy and all this sort of stuff. Nothing's easy. Nothing that's it's truly amazing and, you know, gives an amazing result is ever easy. Every beginning is hard, as my mum always has taught me. But the outcome, if you follow the steps, and this is what a lot of people, another mistake people make, is they keep making their own rules. They keep saying, I know better. I know better. And I passed on this sleeping book to so many parents after I had success with it, because I was a big, big fan, right? So many mums around me borrowed it off me, and they said, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I said, because you're not following the system. You're not being patient at least for 2 or 3 days, you know, to just go through and do it properly. And that's the thing that where people let themselves down. You don't know better because the expert wrote the book because they have seen all the mistakes people make. And just say what, do what they, yeah, do what absolutely. They say.
And that expert knows better is so relevant. I know the work that I do with the entrepreneurs, with the courses and the webinars and the things that I do, they aren't expensive compared to the value that they will receive in the business. But the mindset, and this is so, I find it so disappointing for individuals who are so focused on the cost as opposed to recognizing the results they get out of it by following the system, getting advice from the experts who have already done it and have knocked out all of the issues. Yeah. And people don't value their time enough to recognize that.
No.
Okay, if I just get information and I follow those steps, then I will. You do it with your kids. You tell your kids the same. Don't do what I, you know, do what I do tell you to do.
Yeah.
And they go do their own thing anyway, don't they? So,
yeah, everyone has to make, I guess, their own mistakes along the journey. But yeah, actually, you mentioned one word which is key there. Oh. When people say cost, the minute they say that word, it's like you're losing. And I always said, never, never eliminate that. Use the word investment every single time. I say, even buying a dress in a clothing shop, if I need to ask what the price is, I go, what's the investment in this dress? You know, because I literally have retrained my language to say things that we, you know, they're opposite from the crappy words. Like rather than saying to someone, oh, I'm going to send you the contract to sign, which sounds so scary, but when you say I'm going to send you the agreement to look over and you know, send it back to me, it's all of a sudden a lot lighter, you know, and people feel like, you know, it's more of a relationship than a, like such a, you know, legally binding kind of thing. And so I always, language is key to our success. How we say and what we say. I have a comedy coach right now, and she's teaching me how to pull together this 5-minute, almost like a stand-up comedy kind of thing that I want to do at this couple of gala awards dinners next year. And she said, Nat, she goes, the one thing that I've noticed where we're struggling with your coaching is because you've retrained yourself so much not to be frustrated about things and so much to be just chilled out and cruising, nothing really bothers you, no one really annoys you, and you're kind of just too nice. Like a comedy needs a bit of frustration and, you know, talking about things that annoy you and all that sort of stuff. And she goes, that's the thing, we're going to have to, like, you know, remove these filters that, you know, kind of you've built up and stuff. So to have that sort of more, you know, kind of fiery side come out. And I said, yeah, I actually think you're right. I agree. I'm just so, and that was a compliment, I thought, because I have worked on my mindset so much that I don't actually get affected by other people and how dare and they.
Really interesting. And I find that as well, because I'll have people say to me, aren't you annoyed about that? And well, I really can't change it. You know, if I can change something or affect something, then I'll get frustrated, or not frustrated, but I'll make a move forward and correct it. But if you can't, then you can't. That's very cool. So you're going to have to start watching other people to see what they're frustrated about. You know that now, don't you?
Yeah, well, I actually spend an hour watching a Netflix comedy, stand-up comedy thing with Stuart, because my homework actually now in the next fortnight is to watch quite a bit of it and see all the aspects of what she's teaching me, how to pull it together. And I've signed up for Steve Martin's comedy masterclass online, which I did, bought it like 6 months ago, but I hadn't touched it because I knew this was going to be my thing I wanted to bring out next year. And I started watching that as well. So I'm really now in this downtime absorbing and learning a new skill. I mean, you know, people love to work with those that they enjoy spending time with. I already make people laugh in my presentations and all that, but I wanted to have like a more, you know, be able to pull together little skits, if you like, or even being able to introduce a joke 3 or 4 times throughout the half day event, even though I have my moments, because I know the moments people laugh. My husband always says that when you say this, there's always a laugh. When you say that, there's always a laugh. And we have a bit of a chuckle, you know, because he knows it's coming and we always get the laugh. But this way, I just want to see how you've write it and how do you, you know, kind of prepare it. The other bits have come really natural to me, where over running 120 times the same workshop, I've found how to say things and how to engage people. But this is like almost like, let's learn the actual system of
learning
comedy.
Again, we're back to learning systems again. And this is the thing, you know, that I really want to highlight for people listening too. It doesn't matter what you're doing and where you are. If you're not continually learning new skills, if you don't set up, you're so much like me on a whole lot of levels. I go, at the beginning of the year, I'm planning what skills do I want to have at the end of the year that I don't have now? And then I go and look for the best opportunities, where I can invest in that, learning that skill. And then that's the thing is the more you invest in yourself, the more valuable you are, the more you earn. I mean, that's a given. And the more, I don't know, ability to not be frustrated and not, you know, yeah, it's
correct. I agree. I just think, you become a well-rounded person that kind of can read other people as well and can see where their limitations are and their awareness is. And, you know, and then obviously assist them, because we all want to be surrounding and rubbing shoulders with people who are a solution focus, that they want to grow, that they want to continuously educate and evolve and all that sort of stuff. And it's unfortunate that not as many people go on the path, because it can become a lonelier and lonelier journey as you become more successful, to find the people at the same level as well, and even, you know, have people ahead of you to keep striving, you know, to grow. But it's certainly doable, and I love seeing, you know, my authors transform so much when they just even get their book in hand. Just the sheer fact that I say, there's a little quote that I made up that I share at the end of the workshop, and I say, it's not about writing your first book, it's actually about the person you become at the other end of it. And that's the person that's going to be more confident. That's the person that's going to value themselves a lot more. And thus other people are going to see that and feel that within you. Then they're going to want to engage you for your services. And that's what I felt with my first book. I had only had one paying client when I actually started writing my first book. And I was my own success story, my own journey, how I did it, I shared in that first book. And as a result of it, it's like almost people were like, I want to have what she's having. And, you know, and just invited me to speak and invited me to do lots of things. So I sometimes say to people, you don't need to know the exact outcome every step of the way. Just get through completing the book and then see the person you become, how you'll become a lot more resourceful, a lot more confident, a lot more like certain of yourself, and they're all aspects.
Exactly right. And that's a really good place to wrap up as well, Natasha, because that's a really powerful part of that growth within yourself and belief within yourself, and you know, writing a book is one way, but that whole focus of things that we've been talking about is just continually looking for ways to be the person that when other people will look at you and say, I want what that person's got.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's ultimately the journey of a entrepreneur, I think, and someone who inspires others. And there's always people who are 10 steps behind us that want to get to where we are. And, you know, don't be selfish, you know, share your information, share your knowledge, you know, don't go, you know, don't take it to the grave with you, as they say. You know, one guy said, the music will die within me if I don't write my book.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's a really important factor on the book writing. So how can people get in touch with you and how can they work with you?
Yeah, so just go to ultimate48hourauthor.com.au. I've also got my personal branding website. Any of those websites, it's natashadenman.com, will have obviously my contact details and or contact form people can fill out. And for your listeners, Janine, I'm more than happy for them if they want to download the whole system of the book, like the whole actual ebook version of Ultimate 48 Hour Author. They can just go to the ultimate48hourauthor.com.au website, but then put a /gift. And that'll take them through where they can just fill out their name and email and that it'll send them a downloadable version of that, the full 160 pages of that particular book. And yeah, after reading it, if you are curious about our retreats and half-day events and all that, perfect next step for you to take and just go to the website.
That's really generous. Thank you for that. And I'm sure that the listeners who feel that they've got a book inside them will be downloading. So that is at the Ultimate 48 Hour Author, and then it's a /gift.
.com.au at the end, and then /gift.
The conversation has been. I've just really enjoyed that this morning, and it's travelled a few different.
Me too. I know. We've visited all parts of the world and parenting and comedy. I think we've like really summarized the whole year.
But I think
and
that's wonderful. And it does, it takes the listeners on a journey. And that's the feedback I get when it's not sort of set to any plan, but it just evolves from the conversation. So it's been great to finally catch up again. We tried this earlier in the year and now we're here.
Yeah.
I wish you all the best for all of your goals and things you're striving towards next year. And particularly for your comedy, I think that's
thank you.
Well done with that.
I know. I can't wait to see. I'm at the moment. I'm in such overwhelm in terms of like how is this all going to come together. But I'm sure.
Excellent.
I just
so
trust
thank
the
you very much, Natasha. So I've been speaking with Natasha Denman, the Ultimate 48 Hour Author, and love the time. And listeners, please go to her website and download that free gift. Bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.